You know, when a hurricane's coming, there's just a certain level of stress, isn't there? I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the atmospheric pressure that's getting to you or what, but there's just a certain level of stress whenever we have a hurricane out in the Atlantic or the Gulf and coming at us. Part of that, I think, is the media hype, don't you? It seems like the media and the weathermen, they just, I don't know what it is. It's almost like they're, I hate to say they're excited, but it's almost like they're excited. So they're just the hype level. I don't know about you, but they're high. I can't watch them for very long. If I watch them too long, I start feeling stressed. I'm like, click that off. I've got enough to deal with besides whatever stress they're bringing in. So I think part of the stress we feel at hurricane time has to do with just the fact that it's being brought into our house or into our car when we're listening to it. And then another part of the stress, I think, is just the unpredictability of the storm. You know, wouldn't it be nice, you know, if you turned on the weather channel, you know, 7 days before and it gave you the exact line, it's going to go here, it's going to be this big and da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, that cone of uncertainty, you know, it's like, it's worse than the cone you put on your dog's head when he's not doing well. The cone of uncertainty is just like, oh no, are we inside it? Are we not inside of it? And then obviously what we learned with Hurricane Andrew, especially back in 92, and what we saw with Milton this last week are just the tornadoes that the hurricane whips up, and then the unpredictability and the damage that those cause. So I don't know if you've been stressed this past week or not. But there is nothing like a hurricane to help us to reassess what's really important. And there's nothing like a hurricane to help us to recenter on what really is important. You know, a hurricane's coming. What's the worst it can do? You know, we think about property damage. We think about loss of various things in our homes. I don't know if you saw the picture of the home. Maybe you're in that neighborhood this past week that had one of those, 20-yard, 30-yard dumpsters sitting on top of the roof of that house right out here in Wellington. We look at our property and we get concerned about our property. We get concerned about our things. But a hurricane helps to remind us, what is it that's really important in life? You know, it's possible that as these hurricanes are coming and as we are dealing with these hurricanes, that perhaps you lost power. Some of you lost power this past week. You forget how much of a pleasure, how much of a luxury, right, it is to have power and to have air conditioning and have a refrigerator that's working. And so you deal with these things that are the unexpected. You deal with these things that help you to realize what's really important. Maybe it's this time of year. Maybe you don't talk to your neighbors. Maybe you don't check on your neighbors much at all. I don't know what kind of neighbor you are, what kind of neighbor they are, but all of a sudden neighbors are talking to each other and checking on each other more than they used to, because what do hurricanes do? They help to remind us what's really important. They help to recenter us. And so as I thought about what's happened this last week and what's happened around here this past week, the sermon that was planned for today was put on a shelf for another day, because I thought, you know what, we need to talk about being recentered in our lives. How many of you use, and you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you use a GPS? Probably all of you, right? You know, we used to tell people, you know, we used to give people directions. Well, go down here, you know, there's going to be a tree on your right-hand side. There's going to be a, you know, an old broken-down store on your left-hand side. Just take a left there. You know, we used to give directions based upon, you know, various structures and things that would be there. But now it's just stick the address in your GPS. But I don't know about you, but when I'm using my GPS, I like to look around on the GPS. And so, it's telling me where to go, but I want to say, okay, how many turns until I get there? You know, or what's the traffic light? Okay, is there a red line in the traffic? Okay, that's up there, maybe. And so I'm always looking around at other places, not while I'm driving, obviously. That would be dangerous. But when I'm stopped, you know, you look at it while you're stopped. But I might look ahead, or I might look over here, or look for something that might be along the way. But one of the buttons I always use, once I've done that, is I've used, at least on my phone, I've used that recenter button. And what that does is I may have looked over here and I may have looked over here and I may have been ahead of myself in one direction or another. But once I hit that recenter button, what the recenter button does is it brings me right back to where I am. And it says, here you are, here's where you are on this road, and here's the direction that you're going. And so this morning I want us to think about, what do we need to do to recenter our lives? Is it easy in our lives, following a GPS perhaps in our lives, is it easy in our lives to be thinking over here, to be thinking up here, well, what's going to happen over there, be over here, and to be distracted and be looking in all sorts of different directions and forget where I am, to forget the direction I'm going, to forget what this is all about? And so this morning, I want you to get your imaginary GPS, and I want you to just hit the recenter button this morning. And this morning, I want you to get your Bible and go to the book of Ezra back in the Old Testament, Ezra chapter 3. Because in the history of the Old Testament, the book of Ezra was one of those times in the history of the Jews where they were hitting the recenter button. What had been happening for the last 70 years before the book of Ezra is that God's people had been in Babylonian captivity. They had been taken by the Babylonians because they had turned sinful against God, turned against God. God allowed Babylon to come to conquer the promised land, to conquer Judah, to take them away into captivity for 70 years. And now, after the decree of Cyrus, at the beginning, the first three verses of the book of Ezra, you read about the decree of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Now they're allowed to come back to the promised land. God's people are allowed to come back to, for the first time in 70 years, come back to Judah, come back to Jerusalem. And after 70 years, they're pushing the recenter button. They've been all over the place. They've been here, there, and everywhere. And now they're in Ezra chapter 3, they're pushing the recenter button. Where are we? What's going on? What direction are we going? What's really important right now? And so I want us to see three things in these three verses, the first three verses of Ezra chapter 3. Three things that helped them. How long ago was that? Some 2,500 years ago. That helped them to recenter. And these same three things can help us today to recenter. Verse 1. First thing we see in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 1 is that it was the people of God that can help us to recenter. In verse 1, it says, when the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. What's going on? They have finally come back to the promised land. They finally come back to Judah. And when the day comes, they all come together, because you know what the people of God need in order to recenter? The people of God need the people of God in order to recenter. And so they gathered together. We're back home. We got to figure out where we are and what we're doing and where we're going. And they got together as one man. Have you recognized that the people of the world do just the opposite for us? If the people of God help us to recenter, the people of the world get us off track. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26, the Bible says the righteous should choose his friends carefully, because the way of the wicked, you know what the way of the wicked does? Leads them astray. The way of the wicked gets them off of the GPS coordinates, takes them on a route that they don't need to be on. And so what we need to do is we need to press the recenter button and get back with the people of God. Get back with God's people and allow that to help us to get refocused on where we need to be. Over in Isaiah chapter 9, there was a time where God was trying to get his people to recenter on the people of God. In Isaiah chapter 9, God warns the Israelites at that time that times are coming, days are ahead that aren't good for them. That because the way that they're living, because of the sins that they're committing against God, that days are ahead that they're going to be treacherous. And here's the reason, Isaiah 9 and verse 13. God says, for the people do not turn to God who strikes them. They don't seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off the head and the tail from Israel. What's the head and the tail? Verse 15. The elder and honorable, that's the head. The prophet who teaches a lie, that's the tail. Who are these people? They are the leaders, verse 16. They are the leaders of the people that cause them to err, and they cause them to be led astray to destruction. What's going on? There were people of the world, even their own leaders who were not following God, and their own leaders were leading them astray. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to make sure we're following the right people and make sure that we're not following those individuals who are going to lead us astray, as Proverbs 12, verse 26 says. So what can the people of God do for us? What can you do for other people of God? The New Testament tells us that the people of God help to refresh us. You've been stressed this week. Guess what in the last few minutes you've been able to do just because you're with the people of God? You've been able to feel refreshed. And in Romans chapter 15, Paul writes to the church in Rome where he had never been. And if you back up in Romans chapter 15 to about verse 30 is where he begins by saying, I want you to pray for me. And I want you to pray for me that I'll have an opportunity to come and visit you. But you get to verse 32 of Romans 15, and it says, I want to come there, and I pray that when I come there, that we will be refreshed together. That's what Paul wanted. He wanted to push the recenter button and to come together with his brethren and to be refreshed together. There's a lot of times you're going to read that word refresh in the New Testament. Paul wrote to Philemon, and he talked about how Philemon had refreshed him. He talked in 2 Timothy 4 about brethren who had refreshed him. But here, he's using a word that says, when brethren are together, they are refreshed together. We need each other. We get out in the world. We get out in these distractions. We get out in these storms of life, whether you want to take that physically, literally, or if you want to take that figuratively, and we get distracted. We need the people of God to help us to be refreshed together. What do the people of God help us to do? They help to encourage us. You think about Barnabas in the New Testament. He was given that name. Barnabas was not the name his mom gave him. Barnabas was the name that his friends gave him because he was such an encourager. In Acts chapter 11, he came to a city where there were some new Christians. And he comes in Acts 11 and verse 23, and the Bible says that he was encouraging them to walk with the Lord. Don't we need that? Don't we need the encouragement of each other? Just being together refreshes us just by being in each other's presence. But we need to talk to each other. And that doesn't necessarily have to be just when we are together. We can talk to each other. We can check on each other. And some of you have been doing this last week. Are y'all okay? Y'all need anything over there? What are we doing? We're encouraging each other. As children of God, as the people of God, we help each other by helping us to refocus. In the book of Deuteronomy, and there's two passages on the screen, but really it's the whole book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, you have Moses trying to do the first things on the screen to refresh his brethren. He's trying to help them in regard to encouraging them along their walk, but he's also trying to refocus them. And so throughout the book of Deuteronomy, he keeps telling them, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. One of the key words in the book of Deuteronomy is the word remember. Remember, remember this. You know what we need sometimes is we just need each other to help us not forget what's really important, what it is that really matters. And that's what Moses was doing in the book of Deuteronomy, was saying, be careful when you get in the promised land that you don't forget God. Be careful when you get in there and you think, hey, I've done this all by myself. And he says, no, you have not. You got all of that because of God. You need to remember him and what he's done for you. That's what we need. We need each other to do that for one another, to say, we need to remember. We need to not forget what we have inside of Christ, not forget what we have inside of the church together. And then the final thing that we need to do with each other is we have each other to admonish. And each of these kind of takes a step further. We refresh each other. We encourage each other. We try to help each other refocus. But if we're not where we need to be, you know what we need? We need each other to help us to see we're not where we need to be. in Acts chapter 8, there was a man by the name of Philip who's talked to another Christian by the name of Simon. And Simon had done some things and said some things. And Philip said to him, your heart is... Peter said to him, Peter says this to Simon, your heart is not right with God. You know, sometimes we need to be looking out for each other. Sometimes we need to hit the recenter button. And when we hit the recenter button, maybe we need to look around and see who's not here anymore. Who's struggling? Who's struggling with their faith? And to reach out to them and refresh them, encourage them, and help refocus them, but also to admonish, to warn them, and to say, this is not the path that you want to be on. This is not where you need to be. You see, God designed the church. God designed the church to help to recenter us. But it only helps to recenter us if we'll utilize what God gave us. The people of God can only help recenter us if we'll gather together with the people of God. If we'll invite each other, not just in this place. Don't take it as just this place. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's not just this building. We need to be seeing each other outside of this building, inviting each other to our homes outside of this building, spending time with each other, going to lunch with each other outside of this building, going to a ball game, going to a picnic outside of this building, spending time with each other. Why? So that we can refresh, encourage, refocus, and admonish where those are needed. Because what happens? We get stressed, we get distracted by the things of this world, and we just need God's people sometimes to help us to recenter. Come back to Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3, verse 2. It's not just the people of God that help us to recenter. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse 2, they had gathered together. And when they were gathered together, they decided that they needed to build an altar. They decided they need to offer a burnt offering. And why did they decide that? Well, they decided that because that's what the Word of God says. Look at the end of verse 2, where it says, they decided to offer burnt offerings on it as it is written in the law of Moses. Where'd they get the idea for an altar? Where'd they get the idea for sacrifices? They didn't get that idea from their own minds. They got that from going back and looking at what the Word of God said. When your life gets distracted, when you start looking ahead or behind or around, and instead of looking to where you are and what's happening, what do you need in order to recenter? You need the Word of God. That helps you get back on track. That helps you to see where I am and where I need to go. But think about this again. Do not the words of the world get us off track. If we talked about, in the first point, when we talked about the fact that the people of the world get us off track, what about the words that the world uses? Jesus in Matthew 15 and verse 14, he talked about certain people and he said they are blind leaders of the who? The blind. And what did Jesus say when the blind leads the blind? What happens? When the blind leads the blind, Jesus says, they both fall into the ditch. Have you ever seen that happen? I'm not talking literally. I'm not talking about that you drive down the road and you see somebody in the ditch. I'm talking about in the world that we live in right now. Do you see blind leaders of the blind? Do you see people blindly following after what anybody or everybody might tell them? Not really investigating, not really looking into what's going on, not looking at what the end result might be. But, oh, that just sounds good. That sounds all right. I think that's what I'll do. And Paul warned the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about that. He said, somebody's going to come along among you. He's going to teach you some other gospel, and you'll accept it. We've got to look out for what other people say and check it against what God says. You've got to do that here. Don't believe what some preacher stands up here and says. Just because he holds up this book and starts saying this is what the book says, you don't need to believe what he says. You need to believe what this book says. That's what helps you to recenter. Jesus said, don't be somebody that just blindly follows somebody else. Check and see. And so we need the Word of God because the Word of God helps to recenter us. Go over to Psalm 119 for just a couple minutes. Look in Psalm 119. This is a This is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's got 176 verses. The entire chapter is about this point. The entire chapter is about the Word of God. Every verse in here is saying something about the Word of God. So what does the Word of God help us to do? How does it help to recenter us? Get over to this section. We're going to be in verses about 101 through 107. We're going to be in that section of these verses. What does the Word of God help us to do? You probably know verse 105 better than any verse in here. Word of God is what? A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word of God helps to recenter me. It guides me in where I need to be. It's a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And not only guides me where I need to be, but it helps me to turn back to where I need to be when I'm not there. Verse 102 says, I've not departed from your judgments because you yourself have taught me. I've stayed within your light, but if I get out of your light and out of your word, I know where to come back. That's what the Word of God does. It's a lamp to our feet so that we know what's right. And if we ever stray from it, guess what? We know how to get right with God. Isn't that what 2 Timothy says in chapter 3, verse 16? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, showing us what's right. For reproof, showing us what's wrong. For correction, showing us how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, showing us how to stay right with God. That's what the Word of God provides for us, is that constant guidance in what's right. But not just that. Look in verse 101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. The Word of God helps us to see not only what's right, it helps us to see what the evil way is, and it helps us to keep from walking on that evil path. Verse 104 says, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, because I have your word and understanding, I hate every false way. Well, how do you know what the false way is? Because I've pressed the recenter button. When I've got the Word of God, I know what the false way is. Therefore, I hate it, but I get on the right path. And it helps me to make sure that I have the proper attitude. Look in verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And so the end of verse 107, what does he say? Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Do you love the Word of God? The psalmist says, it's as sweet as honey to me. To those in Bible times, you know, they didn't have Jolly Rancher candies. They didn't have Now or Later candies. They didn't have bubble gum like you've got. The sweetest thing for them, candy to them, the good stuff to them was honey. Oh, it couldn't get any better than honey. And the psalmist is saying, it doesn't get any better than the Word of God. It doesn't get any sweeter than that. And I want it, and I want it more than anything else. God gave us His Word to recenter us. We get distracted and going in so many different places. We get thinking ahead, thinking aside, thinking behind, and God says, would you press the recenter button for a moment? Would you come back and allow the Word of God to show you where you need to be and the path that you need to be on? But it's only good for us if we love it, if we turn to it, if we read it, if we get into it and digest it and study it and apply it to our lives, live it out in front of others, and tell other people about it. Do you need to press the recenter button in your life? What do you need? You need the people of God. You ever need to press the recenter button in your life? What do you need? You need the Word of God. Come back to Ezra chapter 3, verse 3. What's the last thing, at least in this text, that we need in order to press that recenter button in our lives? We need the worship of God. They had in mind in verse 2 to build the altar. And in verse 3, they had done it. And so it says, though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, what does that tell you? Don't worry about what other people think. I was going to say young people need to hear that, but every people need to hear that. Don't worry about what other people think. Though fear had come because of the other people, no worries. They set the altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both morning and evening burnt offerings. They made sacrifice. the worship of the Old Testament was not as, I don't want to say this word, because the worship of the Old Testament was not as easy as your worship. Now, I don't really mean that, because your worship should be one of preparation. Your worship should be one of sacrifice. But our worship sometimes tends to be, I come in, I sit down, I watch, and I leave. I challenge you to actually define that as worship. Their worship was one of diligent preparations, diligent, meaningful sacrifices in their worship. But what it did is it helped to recenter them. I want you to think about this. They had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. What's the first thing they did when they got home? What's the first thing they did? We know they didn't rebuild the walls, because that's the next book in the Bible, the book of Nehemiah. They didn't rebuild the walls. And it was going to take them longer to rebuild the temple. But the first thing they wanted to be able to do when they got back home was to worship God. That's how important it was to them. How important is worship to us? In order for them to be able to recenter themselves as a people, in order for them to recenter themselves as God's people, they said, you know what we need to be able to do? We need to be able to worship God. You know what the world does? The world distracts us from that. The ways of the world will do everything possible to distract us from worshiping God. In the parable of the soils in Mark chapter 4, Jesus talked about that the desires of the world, the riches of the world, the cares of this world. Think about that. The desires, the riches, and the cares of this world. Everything the world has to offer and to lure us in, Jesus says, those are like thorns that choke the Word of God out of our lives. That's what the world wants us to care about. And yet these people in Ezra, after 70 years, says we've got to recenter. And to recenter, we need to be able to worship our God. Does your life get distracted, moving in all sorts of different ways? You ever get stressed out, hurricanes coming, and now you got to go buy more gasoline, or you got to go buy more toilet paper? Well, you didn't have any of that, because you emptied the shelves a couple weeks ago of that. But you're trying to get all your supplies together. And you know what God says? Don't forget to worship me. That's where we get to recenter on what's really important. Because what worship does for us is it helps to remind us, my God is worthy of all praise. We don't have time this morning, but I hope you're writing down the verses. Go and read 2 Samuel 22. And then when you read the first three verses of Psalm 18, you're going to be like, wait a minute, I just read that. You did. From 2 Samuel 22, first four verses, first three verses, Psalm 18. The Bible says when David had been victorious over his enemies, including being victorious over Saul, you know what he said? My God is worthy of my praise. I will call, we sing the song. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Worship. What we are doing right now helps to remind me what's really important. It recenters me. Worship helps me to refocus on Jesus. Why did the New Testament tell us to partake of this feast every first day of the week? You know what God knew? God knew that we would need a weekly refocusing on Jesus. Every week to come together and to do this in remembrance of Him. To remember His life, to remember His sacrifice, to remember what He wants us to do. I need to press that recenter button. And I need to recognize how integral God made worship to be, so that I can say He's worthy. So that I can say Jesus, He's the only thing that matters. To refocus my life on Him. Worship helps me to keep my heart turning upward instead of inward. Boy, life and the devil, he's going to make you only be concerned about you. We talked about this verse a few weeks ago. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, after David's baby died, Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, after Job's children died, what do both of those accounts have in common? David's baby dies, Job's children die, and guess how they both responded? Both of them cleaned themselves up and went and worshiped God. Job fell down and worshiped God and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know why he did that? "I don't want to turn inward." Worship helps me to recenter and to focus upward. When things distract us, we don't need to say, "Well, you know, I don't really have time to go to worship. You know, I've got too many things going on in my life right now. I don't have time to go to worship. Well, I got family coming into town. I don't have..." No. God says worship is what recenters us on what really matters. This is something that ought to be a priority. Not because the elders say it needs to be a priority, because God says it needs to be a priority. Because the one that we are worshiping says this needs to be something that helps to refocus you on what is really important in life. It helps to maintain our spiritual resolve, even in times of struggle. For just a minute, this lesson's almost over. Go to Psalm 42. Just a minute. Go to Psalm 42. Again, you know the first part of this psalm because we sing it. "As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs after you." What is that? I want to worship God. I want to be in His house. I want to praise Him. And so that's verse 1. Verse 2 of Psalm 42, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" I want to go and worship God, but look at the context. He wants to worship God, but what's going on in his life? Verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night." Things aren't going nice. Things aren't going well. Everybody's continually saying to me, "Where's your God? You got bad stuff happening in your life? Yeah. Where's your God? Oh, yeah, these things keep going wrong in your life? Where's your God?" You got anybody saying that to you? You got anybody questioning your faith in God? And what does the psalmist say? "They're doing that to me. You know what I want? I want to worship my God. I want to get back," verse 4, "I want to get back into His house. I want to lift up my voice of joy and praise with the multitude. That's where I want to be. In the midst of everybody turning against me." In verse 5, why is my soul cast down? Because of all this stuff that's going on around me. So where does my soul need to be? Lifted up in praise to my God. Worship helps to recenter us. Worship helps us to build each other up. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 says, "Let everything in your worship be done for building each other up." When we come here and we sing together, we're singing not just to the Lord, we're singing to one another, and we're building each other up. When we're praying together and praying for each other, we're building each other up. When we're communing together, we're building each other up. And when we see each other before and after our services, we're building each other up. That's what worship... When we come here, it is a way for us to recenter our lives. I know there are some Christians. I know there are some Christians who wish that Hebrews 10 and verse 25 wasn't in the Bible. And for some reason, they think Hebrews 10 and verse 25 is just a verse that's there for preachers or elders to use as a weapon or something to say, "Well, you're not supposed to forsake the assembly." No, it's put there by God. But it's not put there by God as a sledgehammer. It's put there by God with open arms saying, "Please come. Please stir up love and good works. Please don't forsake being here because you need this for edification and building up." God pleads with us. He gives us worship in order to help us to recenter on what really matters. But in order to recenter, we need to be here. In order to recenter, we don't just need to be here. We need to want to be here. We need to be that psalmist that says, "I long for His courts of praise. I want to be there as the deer pants for the water." How much does a deer want to drink water? That's how much I want to worship God. I want to be here. I want to be with my brethren and not just be a spectator. I want to be a participant, engaging in what is happening and an encouragement to those around me. This last week, no doubt, had us distracted, had us stressed. Had a lot of things going on. And it'll happen again, right? There'll be another hurricane. Sorry. There'll be another hurricane, right? I mean, that's the nature of being the peninsula sticking down into the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, there's something that's gonna come. And if it's not a literal storm, there's gonna be some storm that comes into your life. And when things distract you and get you away from where you need to be, you need to look at your GPS, you need to press the recenter button, and to be reminded How can I be recentered? The people of God, the Word of God, and the worship of God. Where are you today? Does your life today need to get recentered? Does your life today need to get recentered on God? Do you need to get your life where it needs to be? And not in one of these other distant places that's all off, but to get right back to where God says you need to be. The Bible says in order to get right with God, I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I need to look at my sins that put Jesus on the cross, repent of those sins, turn my life away from that, say, I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what is right. A decision that says, I want to give my life to the Lord and be right with my God. If you're ready to make that decision today, you can confess the faith that's in your heart, just like they did in the New Testament. And today, you can do exactly what they did in the New Testament to get their lives centered and right with God. Matthew 28, verse 19, it says those individuals were baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were put into a brand new relationship with God. When? When they believed and they repented and they were baptized into Christ, all of a sudden their life was changed because now it's centered where it needs to be on God. Have you ever been baptized for the forgiveness of all of your sins so that God could add you to His church and so that He could register your name in heaven? If you haven't done that, we invite you to do that today. Maybe you've already done that, but you need to be reminded today, I need to keep walking with Him. I need to keep serving Him. I don't need to be distracted and away from, I need to recenter, get back on my GPS and walk in the light as He is in the light. If you're not a faithful Christian today, if we can help you with that, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.